bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
My help in time of need.
can't help but sing.
We were still muted. I love that song.
They're in the back.
Promises. Yes and amen.
They're in the black.
His head keeps disappearing.
Put on top. I put him in last night.
What's that?
How come Gay's head keeps disappearing?
Oh, it's probably the background. We'll get rid of it. That's not good.
Oh, because we're not really anyway. It's just a tease.
Yeah, it was a tease. We're not actually on location.
She's ghosting in and out of the picture. It's funny.
Not anymore. It was kind of psychedelic.
Oh, yes, because the background. That's what it is.
I think that's why.
Yeah. I think you were just back enough to fall into like the camera
dead
dropping.
Air.
Dead
air.
Yep. Welcome back.
Hey, everybody.
Y'all look great.
Hi, Ruth. See you later. Good to see you guys.
Morning, Roger and Cindy.
Happy birthday, Moses.
Moses.
Is today the day, Moy?
Was Wednesday?
Friday.
Friday.
Friday, huh?
Friday, yeah.
Another day older, huh?
Yep.
What was the grand number?
48.
48. Two more years, Moses, and you get the really big one.
Gina, if you need help with that surprise 50th birthday party, you just let me know.
Believe me, Gage knows how to do them. Like 3 weeks early.
I have a wheelchair.
There you go.
Thank you.
And I have a shower chair.
What was that?
I'll take the shower chair.
We need the Pampers.
All right, let's go ahead.
Gina, excuse me, they're not called Pampers at his age. They're Depends.
Yeah.
That all depends.
Exactly. Let's see. Did I just hear Tim?
Yeah, I'm over here.
Oh, okay. There you are. Okay.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, I'm here. I just like her face better.
Let's go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and just read off the prayer request, and that way we can continue to see you and we don't go through where Gay is. We need to see everybody. So I would like to have us pray for Derek Billy first this morning, just for the Lord's grace and just his encouragement and strength.
Those that don't know him, tell
them. Yeah, Derek hasn't been able to come as much. He works at Legends as a cook, and so for a long time he ends up working on Sundays. But for those of you who do remember him, Derek is a rapper, and he's done a lot of Christian rap songs on his Facebook and some on YouTube. But he just needs in the Lord's encouragement. So, Father, we just bring Derek before your throne of grace right now, Lord. We hold him in our hearts, and we just ask, Lord, that you would give him your strength, encourage his heart, Lord. Help him, Lord, to realize, Lord, that you are his strong tower and you are his refuge, and, Lord, that he can run into you, Lord, and find safety, find rest for his soul. Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that whatever it is that the enemy's trying to use against him, Lord, that you would cause it to turn to good in his life. As your word says, that you're making all things work together for his good because he loves you, Lord, and he's called according to your purpose. So we just release the blessing of God over Derek right now, and fill him with your presence in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So just so everybody knows, Derek actually just lost his brother.
Yeah.
Just went down to
Arizona
for services and all of that. And so his heart is really broken. And this is a second brother that he's lost. So just keep him close in your heart to pray for him. And if you guys get time, send him a text or whatever so that his heart can be encouraged to know that he's not alone.
So this just happened since the last time he was in cell group with us, right?
No, he had just come back. He had come back from Arizona when he got on cell that night.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. So yeah. So his brother was already passed. I was going to say he lost two then.
No, yeah. His other one he lost a year or so ago, if I remember right. So
it's just been one after another. So it's very, very painful in his heart, and you guys know.
And a lot of his family doesn't know the Lord down there, so he goes down there, and he's like the voice of, you know, of wisdom and hope and everything, you know. So he doesn't really get an opportunity to necessarily grieve and stuff while he's there, so. So let's go ahead and see. Does anyone want to pray for the lives of those who are suffering, both personally and financially, through this this COVID-19 pandemic? Anyone?
Vicky,
go ahead.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we are lifting those who are so severely and just affected, Lord, through the illness itself, through financial loss, through their suffering, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you will just comfort them and you will walk with them, Lord, and that they will see you. Or that you will encamp your angels around them, Lord, to protect them from attacks of the enemy in this time, Lord. That they will look up to see you as their strength and see you as their provider, Lord. Lord, please keep them keep them from any other illness, keep them from any other devastation, Lord. Just continue to comfort and bring them peace, Lord. They know that what they need will be provided for them.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And then obviously we're hearing from Moses that there's work, co-workers, that family members are being affected, even some of his co-workers. And Moses just finished his 14-day quarantine because he was exposed. So, you know, I don't think that this is anything that any of us can really say it's outside of our preview of knowing anybody that's being affected. So let's have someone pray for the individuals that are that have become infected and the with the virus and for their families, and that the Lord would bring healing and touch them. Because as Moses was saying, a lot of people are in fear, a lot of people are in panic mode, and we know that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So does anyone want to pray? Anyone? Okay, I'll go ahead.
I'll take it, Pastor.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, during this time of crisis and fear, Father God, that many people are facing, Lord, but we know we can find our comfort through you, Lord Jesus. We know that you are our comforter, our healer, our everything, Father God. We just pray for all those who have become infected with this virus. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We send it back to you to help them where you came from, Father God. We ask for strength for those who are fighting this virus, Father God. We ask them that you just strengthen their bodies, strengthen their immune systems to overcome, Father God. And may they use it as a time of reflection to come to you and come closer to you, Father God. That seed that was planted in their hearts, they may come to fruition, Father God. That you may come and comfort their families, Father God, because we know everything is used for good, Father God, as we just prayed. And all those families, we just speak encouragement, Father God, and we just ask that you also strengthen us, Lord, that we may use this as an opportunity to share, Lord, of your peace, Father God, as they see us walking amongst them, that we walk different, Lord. We're not walking in fear, Father God, and I pray for all my brothers and sisters out there to give them the wisdom and encouragement to speak the truth, Father God, and give the people hope, Father God. We need to plant hope back into their lives, Lord. And we just ask for your strength and your Holy Spirit to come upon us, Lord, when the opportunity arises to speak hope, to speak peace, to show your love through this, Father God. And we come against that virus once again in the name of Jesus. We place all the people in your hands. We pray for the medical field, too, who are exposed to this daily, Lord Jesus, that you may bring peace and comfort. And in healing, Lord Jesus, throughout your land. We thank you, Lord, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Moses, you covered like the last three. Good job. Oh. Praise God. You're right. You're like right on the checklist. Boom, boom, boom. Very good.
I'm not in that text line.
Hallelujah. Well, let's go ahead and we'll get into the message, and you were mentioning about fear, Moses, and it's amazing how many times, I'll wait till we get here, how many times Jesus calling prompts something in my heart. And I was reading on Friday's Jesus calling, and it used the term, which is the title of the message, but his righteous right hand. His righteous right hand, or his hand of righteousness, and it just spoke to me. Because we've heard of the strong arm of the Lord, the mighty arm of the Lord, the outstretched arm of the Lord, but somehow this like awoken something in me. So let's see where it takes us today, and we'll first look at this verse. It's Isaiah 41:10. But let me go ahead and start to share. I'll go ahead and leave it on unmute in case somebody wants to share something. If it gets too noisy, I'll go ahead and stop. So there's our prayer needs. We took care of those. Praise the Lord. So, yeah, Isaiah 41:10. Go ahead, read it, Ben.
Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
I love this. Fear not, for I am with you. And it is a time that individuals can become fearful. You know, we are living in days that that probably no one alive, or very few, have seen anything like this. And it is something that's bringing us to literally our knees as a country, you know, as far as financially and emotionally, and it's causing people's hearts to faint. And, you know, for us as his people, like Moses was saying, we have the message of fear not, for he is with us. And even though those that don't know him, they too can know that they don't need to be in fear because God is with them. And if they will release and surrender their heart and their lives and these fears to him, that he'll take them and he'll transform their lives and change them. And so then it says, be not dismayed. And another word for dismayed, that's a kind of an older word that we don't use a lot. Just discouraged. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. And there's really, you know, a lot of discouragement out there. If you listen to the news, you've got, you know, different sides. Some people say keep the country closed. And of course, that means the economy will continue to go down. Some people say, no, let's just open it up. That means more people will potentially get sick. And so it looks like you're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't. You know, you can't win in this thing. And the thing is, it can bring discouragement. But God's reminding us to not be discouraged. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. And he is our God. We are his people. We are the people of his pasture. We are his children. And he will give us what we need every day. He is the source of everything that we need. Then he says, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. So here I think of, you know, Moses, his hands were getting heavy when he was lifting them up and the battle was being won by the Israelites. Ben-Hur is somebody that is a movie. Ben-Hur. Like, those of you who've seen Ben-Hur, you get the joke. But anyway, Aaron Hur supporting, strengthening his arms so the battle could continue to go on. And that's the way I look at the Lord, is strengthening our arms, fortifying us, giving us the help that we need in this difficult time. And then he will uphold us with his righteous right hand. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wanted to look at this right hand. I do kind of involve the arm a little bit, but the idea of God's hand and that God's hand is there for us. And if you think about the hand, you know, when somebody's climbing up a hill and you're up ahead of them and they need help getting up, normally what do? You reach out your hand. You reach out your hand so they can get some support, so that, you know, or you're helping somebody up onto a roof off a ladder or something. That hand is a real important attribute that we all, you know, realize when we greet each other. You know, yesterday we were doing some cleanup work at the church. What you would see people? She wants to see.
Quit making a big deal of it.
It's so funny.
I can't see you.
Yeah, she has to see you. So I tried to make it so we could see you and do it at the same time, but right, it won't here. Work. Yeah, okay. But they can't see the words.
Yesterday at the church.
Had a few gentlemen come and help, which I was really blessed. Thank you all men who came. But Roger had gotten there a little bit earlier, and he was just coming off of pulling some weeds, and he had his his gloves on or something like that. And I came up, and I hadn't seen him, you know, for a few weeks. So I stood in front of him, and I said, do you want to shake hands? And he put out his hand, you know, and so we both sanitized right after that. But I'm kidding. But the point being is like that is such a universal, at least for most individuals, of greeting someone. It's like, it's a way of saying, like, you are my brother, you are my friend, great to see you. The hand has such power. And I think it communicates to us how God feels about us, and that it would be his hand that carries his righteousness.
Pastor Mike?
Yes.
The handshake originated, it was a peace thing in war, because the two leaders or two kings or generals, they would shake hands to show they had nothing in their hand to harm the other.
Oh, their weapon. Yeah, I've heard that before. That's good. Yes.
Yes, and I was reading the scripture, and it says, where it says, for I am, and it can be read, I am your God. I will strengthen you. You know, that I am, that, because he always said, I am. And then so the I am can be capitalized and powerful in that way.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Anyone else? Okay. We'll continue on. Next verse. Next verse. Here we go. Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his day, Judah will be saved and Israel will bless him. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
So the Lord our righteousness. And so this, I don't know, I'm going to go ahead. I don't know how many of you have heard the different names of the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha. These are all different names that the Lord has given himself. And this is one of those times that he is Jehovah Sitkanu, the Lord, our righteousness. And so notice that this, you switched it over here, that it's saying that a king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. And that's one of the key things about righteousness, is that it's justice, it's judgment, it is right standing. And so it's like God brings the balance, he brings the justice that needs to happen in the earth. Mm-hmm. And if you think of Jesus, he is the ultimate giver of righteousness. And He, even though we don't deserve it, he says, no, my justice for you when you receive me is that you do receive all of my righteousness. You receive my right standing. You receive the justice that I bring your life, even though we think we deserve judgment and guilt. He says, no, I bring forgiveness and transformation to your life. That's good news. And so I just wanted to bring that out before we got into the other part of this, because it's his righteousness that we're talking about. Righteousness means justice, rightness, righteousness. It's the word tzedek, and it's where we get the Jehovah Sitkanu. And it can mean what is right or just or even normal, rightness or justness. Let's go ahead and keep going here. Let you see that here. That's the Hebrew word right there, tzedek. I don't know. It's pretty interesting how you get all those letters from just those three, but that's the way Hebrews works. Okay. Psalm 89, 13 through 17.
You have a mighty arm.
Oh, I think it's just 13, 14. Go ahead.
Strong is your hand and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face.
Yeah, it's through 14. So you have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. So his arm is mighty and strong. And his hand, his right hand, is high and strong. And so we see this valiantness, so this powerfulness of our God, and yet so much of the time he exercises restraint. Mm-hmm. Even though he is strong and mighty, and you know, like some people say, he could squish us like a bug if he wanted to, but righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. You know, Jesus was full of grace and truth. Mercy and truth. He was full of that. That's what he carried, and that's what he displayed. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. Psalm 63:88 and Psalm 37:24.
My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Psalm 37:24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand.
So I love this. This is where we see in the scripture God supporting us, holding us up, keeping us from falling or stumbling or from you know, entering into a trap. How do you want to say it? Protecting us through a plague, a pandemic. I say that, you know, it's him that is the one that is our covering and our shelter and our refuge. And I think we'll look at a scripture that talks about that he is our very dwelling place. And so thinking about going through these difficult times, hey guys, if you ever get to the place where you're feeling overwhelmed, or you're feeling like, boy, I don't know if I can face tomorrow. Maybe financial stuff comes up. Maybe health-wise, you start having some issues or whatever it may be. I would just encourage you to just extend your hand up to the Lord, the right hand, and just picture him grabbing your hand. Picture him sending strength or encouraging you or lifting you up. Allow that truth that he is the one that will keep you from falling to be a reality in your life. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Anyone have anything else? Okay. Got quite a few scriptures here, so. Next one. Ezra 8:31.
Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the go to Jerusalem. And he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambush along the road.
So this is Ezra, and Ezra was being commissioned by the king to go and to rebuild the temple. And he was taking a group, a large group with him, back to Jerusalem from the place of their captivity. And the king, you know, said, hey, I'll send money with you, and I will also send protection to protect you along the route, because there's bandits along the way, and I don't want them to rob and steal your stuff and to, you know, to kill you guys. And Ezra said, no, we're going to believe that the Lord will guard us. And so they fasted and they prayed before they left. And so we see that because of their trusting in him and putting all of their eggs in God's basket to be a testimony for the king, just tell the king, no, king, our God will take care of us. This is a mission that the Lord has given us. And thank you for your offer, but he will be the one that we rely on. And the hand of our God was upon them, and his righteousness, his justice. And, you know, we don't know if they passed, you know, right by, you know, a band of bandits and were never even seen. You know, we don't know how God protected them, but the hand of the enemy was not upon them, mm-hmm. but the hand of the Lord was. And so again, during these uncertain times, let's believe that the hand of the Lord is upon us, because we can't always protect ourselves. We don't know if one of our employees or coworkers is going to walk in after they've already been diagnosed with the stuff and say, hey, I feel great, right, Moses? No problem. I'm great. No worries. And then expose everybody. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but we can trust the Lord that no matter what we go through, that our lives are in his hands and that he has his hand upon us. Amen?
Amen.
To me, that's good news. For me to have to rely on my own life to be, you know, secure and safe and stable and all those things, I'd go crazy. I think some people are going crazy right now. I guess, you know, people who are cooped up in their homes, they say there's more violence and abuse going on than ever before, because people don't know how to rest in God and realize, yeah, I'm here, but I'm not alone. You know, he's with me. His rod and his staff are comforting me during this time. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's no reason to fear.
Yeah. During this time, I believe that God is giving us the opportunity to know, even if we have no one, we have Him.
Amen.
I don't believe that as a Christian unit, a whole unit in the United States, we've ever really been given this type of a trial that is giving us the opportunity to draw close to God, like to intimately know that right hand. I know that when Mike and I were dating, and we would hold hands, I mean, you know, your hand can be very intimate and very loving, or it can be not. And because we weren't married yet, I was engrossed in Mike's hands because they were way bigger than mine. They made me feel safe. They were loving, they were tender, but they were also strong. And I believe that God is giving us this opportunity to know His hand intimately. And a lot of times we can waste an opportunity, I believe, that God gives us. I don't know how many of you guys feel lonely during this time or alone during this time, but God wants to say, I need to be enough for you. Mm. My hand is all you need for protection and for righteousness and for love and for comfort. And I don't want us to miss the opportunity that God wants to draw close to us and not have us use this opportunity to just wait until it's all done. And a lot of times we can be that way when it's trials and tribulation. We can just bide our time through it. And I believe that God wants us not to do that. I believe God wants us to use this time to grow in Him. I don't know how many of you guys know who Candace Cameron Bure is, but she is the sister of Kirk Cameron, and they're two stars. And they're both born-again Christians, full of the Holy Spirit. And something that she said, I was watching an interview with her, and she said, because they're doing some kind of, today, I guess, some kind of a concert or a big thing that is to raise money for COVID-19. And her brother are hosting it. And she said, they said, what are you doing during this time that you weren't doing before? And she said, I've always read my Bible. I've always prayed. I've always known where God is in me, and I've always known how to find Him. She said, but if anything, it's made me go more to the Word, more in prayer, more to look for God in this situation, because they're stuck at home just like we are. And so God wants us to look for where His hand is operating. He wants us to see that there's opportunity here to know Him like we've never known Him before. And we can either waste this time or we could use this time wisely.
Amen. Psalm 139, 10 and Psalm 73:23.
Even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. That's Psalm 39:10, Psalm 73:23. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand.
So here's the psalmist is communicating that the Lord holds him with His right hand, but also in 73, that it's His right hand, the actual psalmist's hand, grabbing the hand of the Lord. That's what I meant by holding your hand up and picture yourself grabbing hold of the hand of if you're becoming overwhelmed.
That's the opportunity that God is giving us.
Oops, sorry.
Right now.
Psalm 118, 16.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
And 136, 12.
With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for His mercy endures forever.
So the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right. So this psalmist is proclaiming that all authority and all power is in the hand of the Lord, is what he's saying. He's also saying that it's a strong hand and an outstretched arm that delivered the people. This is when it's talking about in Psalm 136 of the people being delivered from Egypt, mm-hmm. and how with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, he delivered them. Okay. Isaiah 59:1.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear.
So I love this, that the hand of the Lord is not a shortened hand, that it cannot save us, that it cannot, and then it cannot deliver us. This is when Israel was challenging God's authority and his rulership in their life, and the Lord's trying to communicate through Isaiah that the hand of the Lord is not shortened. He can deliver you and he can save you, and his ear isn't heavy, and so that he can hear you. But you know, because of their actions, they weren't getting response to their prayer. And then Deuteronomy 33:27 says,
"The eternal God is your refuge, dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy."
So here we have God communicating to us through Moses that he is the eternal God and he is our dwelling place. This is, again, way before they truly understood that they lived and had their being in God. That God was saying through Moses, he's your dwelling place. He is your habitation. He's the one who sustains you. And then underneath his dwelling place are his everlasting arms, his strong arm that delivers us, his hands that delivers us. And notice he will thrust out the enemy.
Not us.
Not us. Okay. So Isaiah 53:1-2 says this.
Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him.
So this is Isaiah 53. This is talking about the suffering servant. And this is talking about have people been able to see Christ when he came, Messiah when he comes? Will they be able to see who he is? Because he's not going to appear like some kind of, you know, king. I mean, it's even though he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there were many times that they were confused about him because they didn't come as they thought he was going to come. But he was the arm of the Lord. Jesus was that strong, righteous right hand revealed to us. He was the Lord, our righteousness, as we read earlier. And so this scripture was fulfilled in John 12:37-38.
But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?"
So again, going right back to Isaiah 53. So even though he did many signs, they didn't believe in him. And it was a validation of the truth that to whom was the arm of the Lord revealed. And we know it was just a few select that at the end of Jesus' life that were still loyal to him until his resurrection. I mean, pretty much almost everybody ran away. And so we know that Jesus' right hand is the one that helped all of us into his boat of salvation.
Right.
As we were drawn by the Holy Spirit, Jesus reached out his hand to us and he grabbed us and he said, "Let me be your righteousness and you take my righteousness and I'll take your filthy rags." And so, I mean, what a great honor we have that we have Christ's righteousness, God's righteousness. And then I'll finish with this scripture because I think it's so apropos about what the Lord did.
But what is this?
Oh, Matthew 28:31. Oh, you can see. Oh, you're one ahead.
Oh, sorry. Matthew 28.
14:28.
14:28-31. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus.
So this is when Jesus was coming across after he had sent the disciples ahead in their boat. And that you know, it was kind of stormy, and it was you know, that they were fighting to row, and he comes up, and they're thinking it's a ghost, and the Lord says, no, it's I. And Peter said, if it is you, Lord, then bid me to come, ask me to come, command me to come to you on the water. And Peter steps out of the boat, literally onto the water, and he starts walking to Jesus. Go ahead and go to the next one.
Verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?
What a great picture that Peter was moving in faith, confident, moving forward. And then when the storm came before him, he saw what was going on, he starts to sink. And, you know, during these difficult times, that can happen to our hearts too. We, you know, when our hearts gets overwhelmed, you know, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. But sometimes we can't do it. And we literally need Jesus' hand to reach out, grab our hand, strengthen it, re-fortify the strength in our legs, and then we can continue to walk on water. Because Peter walked back to the boat with Jesus on the water. At first he was walking on his own through the commandment of the Lord, and then he needed the strength of the Lord. And so Jesus, the Lord of righteousness, held out his hand and grabbed Peter and saved him. And that's what he did for all of us when we receive salvation. Jesus reached out his hand, grabbed us, rescued us from death, hell, and the grave, and all the wiles of the devil, all his tricks, all his everything that he was working against us to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. And Jesus rescued us from that. His righteous right hand. The next time you think of the hand of the Lord, just think of his righteousness, his justice, his judgment. And his judgment is perfect. His judgment is not one of these kinds of judges that hears a case and is biased and says, well, you know, I lean this way in this kind of thinking and not this way, so I'm going to go ahead and give you, you know, 2 years because, you know, he finds out something about you or you communicate something during your trial. And so he gives you more because he just doesn't like you in some way or like the way you think or even like your political persuasion or it could be anything. You're a Christian and the justice is not true. But God's justice isn't like that. He has no shadow of turning in him. And so we can be confident that his righteous right hand is equally fair to everyone, which is good news.
During this time, I'm thinking that a lot of people are learning that going to church, being where a pastor's at or where altar is or where the music is perfect or where there's a light show or whatever, that's not what determines our being able to know the righteousness of God.
That's good.
He is letting us during this time personally know that even if a pastor can't lay a hand on you, even if a pastor can't be right beside you and pray over you when you're discouraged, you are enough for God. You and who you are and who he's made you, the giftings he's given you, even the things that make you fall short, he's given those things to you because he has desire of you. He desires you. And so during this time, like just like Peter, he stopped looking at God and he started looking around and he saw the wind and he saw the big waves and his mind got off Jesus. But it says that we are excuse me, we are to set our mind on things above, not on things right here. We need to make an effort. We need to be the ones to set our minds on things that are holy and righteous and the Spirit of God and the love of God. We have that power within us. We don't need anybody else.
Yeah, what's the scripture? Let me see if I can find it here real quick. Whatsoever things are pure, I think it's Philippians. You could probably quote it, Roger. I think you know it, don't you?
What's that again? Ephesians what?
Is it Ephesians or whatsoever things are pure, righteous?
What we're supposed,
yeah. Keep going. edifying, building up.
Yeah.
Think on these things. Anything that's a good report, yeah, think on these things. There we go. We'll paraphrase it today. Praise the Lord.
Philippians 4:8.
What?
What is it?
Philippians 4:8.
Go ahead and read it.
Oh, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Wow. You almost, and I'm guilty of this, you almost can't even look at the news and live up to that scripture. Because
right.
there's not much good news. There is John Krasinski, those of you who ever watched The Office, or he was on Jack Ryan on, I guess, Prime for Amazon. But he has a show that he started on YouTube called Some Good News, and it's just good news. And they just broadcast good news that has been happening during this time. And yeah, we need more of that. We need more people to speak truth, injustice, and honor, and loveliness, all of those things. And so let's try to be a communicator of that when we talk to people. I mean, obviously, that we don't want to be people who just put our head in the sand and say, oh, nothing's going on, or there's no... You know, there's nothing to worry about or anything like that. But, I mean, we want to have reason, but we also want to know that we are in the hand of the Lord.
What I love is also what happens in verse 9. So it's Philippians 4:9. It right. says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. You keep putting it into practice. You keep remembering it. You be the one to recall it, bring it up. We have to remind ourselves who God is in us. We have no one else to do it for us. I mean, this time together right here is wonderful and loving and great, but so the majority of it is me and Jesus, you and Jesus. And you have to keep putting in to practice. You have to keep reminding yourself who God is in you and who he wants to be in you and how much greater he can be in you. Speak life out of that mouth, because you can speak death to yourself. Speak life instead. Mm-hmm. I speak life to my husband. I speak life to him because he carries the weight of this harsh, harsh time right now. He's the provider of our family. So I pray for him. I mean, I'm with him right here, but that's it. And if we're not doing it, who is? Who's encouraging me? I have to encourage myself in the scripture. Speak those things out and speak life into yourself.
Amen. So let's just remind ourselves here one more time what this scripture says, because I think it's worth repeating, because it is powerful. I mean, it's like it's covering so many facets of what we need to think about right now. Fear not, for you could, like she said, fear not, I am with you, God is saying. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There is nothing to fear. There is nothing to be discouraged about, because we have him on our side. Amen?
Amen.
Does anyone have anything else? Myla.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. So in Middle Eastern culture too, I know this because you have to think like the Bible's not really written for like us in the Western world. Like we don't really understand a lot of the cultural things, but I have learned that over there they use one hand is considered their like clean hand.
Right.
And hand is considered their like unclean hand. Like this is the one they'd use to go to the bathroom and this is the one they would use to eat type right. situation. So back then, I mean, not only is it the righteous hand of God, but how much more is God's righteous right hand than our righteous and holy hand? You know what I mean? It's
Amen.
You know,
it's
and his clean, it's his holy hand, it's his giving hand. It's, you know, it's so much more holier than anything that we could, you know, perceive.
Amen.
His hand is as clean and holy as it gets.
Right. Right. And I think that's why it's always talked about as his right hand, you know, it's really emphasizing how holy and clean it is, you know. So just food for thought.
No, that's good. Anyone else?
I'll just say this, that God's right hand is symbolic of his supreme authority.
Mm-hmm.
That's his right hand. He is a supreme authority.
Yes, amen. That's one of the things about the right hand. It's where Jesus sits at the right hand of God, which is a yes. place of authority and power. Also, the right hand, I didn't get into all this, but the right hand is also the hand that was used for blessing.
Right, exactly.
There was a time when Jacob was blessing Manasseh and Ephraim, the two sons of Joseph, and Joseph was trying to get his father to keep him from crossing his hands, but he was blessing the younger one with the greater blessing by putting his right hand on them. So, yeah, the right hand holds great significance. I didn't want to get into all that today. Even though it is important, there's many attributes to the right hand of God. But what I really wanted us to get is that he is there for us. That if we stretch out our hand and say, Lord, help me, he's going to help us. And whether it's symbolically in our hearts, we see him grabbing our hands, or we just find the peace of God when we cry out to him and knowing that he is going to rescue us, we have a place that we know that we can turn. When others who don't know the Lord, they can't turn there. You know, individuals who are facing this and don't know God, all they're hoping for is a vaccine, or all they're hoping for is the cure, or all they're hoping for is some kind of, you know, treatment that's going to keep them from being, you know,
dying
or, you know, or losing their business. They can't, you know, they can't think of the thought of what it's all that they know is their business. But any of us could lose our livelihood, and we still have something greater than our livelihood. We have our God.
Right.
We have the one who holds us in his hand. So let's be encouragers. Let's be ones who speak life. And let's help remind people that no matter what it looks like on the outside, on the inside, God can be at work in them. Amen?
Pastor,
yes. Moses?
Oh, go ahead. Song.
Yes.
There's a song that's called Just Be Held. Uh-huh. And it talks about when we can't hang on anymore, or we feel like we can't hang on, that we just stand and be held by him because he is always holding us.
Amen. That's good. Just be held.
Mm-hmm.
Were you going to say something, Moses?
No.
Oh, okay. You lean kind of forward. That's usually what you do when you get ready to talk. So anyone else?
All those scriptures that were read this morning really leave no room for fear at all.
No.
Everything that was spoken today concerning the scriptures, there's no room for fear there at all. And God makes it pretty clear to us. You know, the devil goes around roaring like a lion. He tries to impart fear into our lives. And this COVID thing could be a distraction to lean towards that fear, because this is kind of an unknown thing. But God says, I've gone before you, and he goes before us and he traps every trap and every snare that the enemy lays out before us, unknowing to us. A lot of times we don't even know what God's already done when he's, when he goes before us.
Amen. That's good.
The best that the enemy can do is imitate.
There you, yeah.
He cannot replicate.
That's right.
He cannot create.
Or create. He can only imitate. So he's only been an imitator this whole time, trying to imitate that he can give you what God can give you, or he can save you like God can save you, or he can offer you like God can offer you. But he's only an imitator. He is not, he is an imposter. He is not the real one. He is not the one that is going to, at the end of all of this, be the person that you can depend on no matter what.
He's fake news.
Fake news, yes.
Another thing, too, I was thinking, too, that Scripture tells us not to look to the left or to the right and to always look forward. And then Scripture says that he goes about, the enemy goes about roaring to like a lion to instill fear. But another thing that happens is when you hear a noise, you're going to look.
Right.
And so he wants us, he's distracting us with these roars of fear. He's distracting us, causing us to look left or right other than straight at God.
Right.
Amen.
But I think also when he roars and we look, see, we have to be able to understand and discern the voice of God through this seeing as well.
Right.
Amen.
I remember the first time I went to a camp for kids, a Christian camp. That's one thing that our camp counselor said, and it was that scripture that the enemy roars like a lion. But he's like a lion. He is not a lion. He's imitating that lion. He's roaring like that lion. But honestly, if you open his mouth, there's not a tooth in there. And that's what she told me as a little girl. And I'm like, he's like grandpa. He has no teeth. Like, you know, how, and my grandpa, when he would take his teeth out and he would try and bite me or, you know, play like that, like, oh, he just is gumming me. It doesn't hurt really. Like, that's the enemy tries to make us think that what he can do for us can either, one, propel us forward in positive, or he has such power that he can propel us backwards. But that's not, God is the one that brings us up, lifts us up. He has no teeth.
Amen.
Amen.
The enemy has no teeth.
So maybe a question we could ask ourselves, which I've been asking myself, is what has this whole situation done in my life concerning my relationship with the Lord, and how I convey that to other people as I'm out and about? So where are we in all of this, you know, in the Lord? I mean, are we giving into it? Are we
supposed to be?
That's a good question. So you're asking, say it again, Roger.
I wanted to hear what Gaylene said.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't know what I said.
Oh, okay. Well, I think she was repeating. So where are we in the Lord in all of this? Yes. Is what you're saying. We should ask ourselves. Are you saying, like, take personal inventory? So
examine ourselves.
How have I responded to you during this time? Have I become fearful? Have I become preoccupied with other things and not thinking about you? Have I let all of these distractions keep me from remaining in your peace or your rest? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
They don't mean to put words in your mouth.
But. No, that's parallels exactly what I'm saying. And the question we could ask is, or a statement we should say is, and then there's God.
Yeah.
Through it all. And then there's God. We don't want to forget that. You know, God is still in control. And, you know, I want to just say this, that this morning when I got up, I just had this really quietness about me, a peace that I'm asking the Lord, like, I know where peace comes from, but sometimes God will put something in our spirit ahead of time, ahead of before something actually takes place. We don't unknowingly, we don't really know what that is. But there's a quietness and that peace that we should have that passes all understanding. We don't understand what's going on, but we do understand what God's peace is.
Amen.
Hopefully we do. We're
a
learning.
Good for that idea is, you know, search me, O God.
Psalm 139.
Yeah, search me.
And here's a New Testament one. Go ahead.
You know, just see if there's anything in me that is keeping me from how close I could be to you. It's a scary thing, but it's a good thing because I, you know, uproot those things. Get rid of everything that, you know, takes us away instead of brings us into fellowship.
It's amazing because at the end of this, we can be no further ahead than we are when it started. But I'm like, God, break my heart for what breaks your heart.
Right.
Let me feel the anguish that you feel about where people are in you and where they could be in you. If I were to open my mouth, if I were to speak when I should, if I were to get this opportunity and use it, how is my heart being broadened and broken and what's the word I'm looking for? How is it being challenged? Am I even being challenged during this time? Spiritually speaking, we can just like I said before, we can bide our time and just get through, but is that getting us anywhere? It isn't.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust, this is 6, but I trust that you will know that you are not disqualified. But examine ourselves, continually test ourselves. Lord, where am I? And the thing is that it's not to be a deal where we're getting to the place where we're in condemnation or guilt or that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, are we in the place where we can receive all of the love of God to the place where there is no fear that grips our heart, that we're receiving the love of God in such a way that we live as if individuals have Jesus in them.
Right.
That means we are light bearers in mm-hmm. dark times. We bring light. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.